Pope Francis chose the Basilica of St. Mary Major as the final stop on every journey, and ultimately the place of his final farewell. His funeral brought new light to a church already rich with memory, miracle, and meaning. In this episode, we follow conservator-restorer Guido Santé as he reveals the sacred beauty and deep history behind one of the most important Marian shrines in the world, a place where popes have prayed, artists have worked, and pilgrims continue to gather. A farewell to a pope, a celebration of something far older. There was never an apostolic journey of Pope Francis that didn't begin or end with a visit to the protectress of Rome, the revered icon of Salus Populi Romani, housed in the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore. On the very first day of his pontificate, Pope Francis came here with flowers, and from that moment onward, every departure from Rome for a mission or return from a pilgrimage was marked by this same gesture of devotion to Our Lady Salus Populi Romani, which translates from Latin as health of the Roman people. During the pandemic, Pope Francis prayed fervently before this image for the health of all people and the entire world, even blessing the deserted streets of Rome from St. Peter's Square. At the end of 2023, as a sign of profound gratitude, he offered the precious golden rose to the Virgin. For Pope Francis, this icon was not just a tradition, but a spiritual compass guiding his entire papacy. And now this basilica has become the final destination of his earthly pilgrimage. But let's rewind together with Professor Guido Santé to the beginning to understand the roots of the basilica and why it's so beloved by the popes. Let's go back to the time of the Council of Ephesus, which settled the contemporary debate over the nature of Mary's motherhood by proclaiming the dogma of the Theotokos. While some argued that Our Lady was the mother of Christ's human nature alone, the Church ultimately pronounced her the God-bearer.
The Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore is traditionally believed to be founded by Pope Liberius, but it is to Pope Sixtus I that we owe the construction of this extraordinary monument of Christianity, precisely after the Council of Ephesus. The Council affirmed the divine motherhood of Mary. The Basilica, of course, becomes the first and most important Marian temple in the Western world. Entering the Basilica today, what absolutely strikes the faithful is the marvelous mosaic in the apse, depicting the grand scene of the coronation of Mary by her son, Jesus Christ.
The mosaic is the last masterpiece of the Middle Ages in Rome. The first Franciscan Pope, Pope Nicholas IV, commissioned the work of art and even chose to reside at Santa Maria Maggiore rather than the Papal Palace.
Tutta questa enorme decorazione.
All of this extensive decoration is a monument and above all a testament to Franciscan devotion to Mary. In the center, we see Christ crowning his mother, seated on a throne. The depiction is intriguing because at the feet of Christ is the sun, and at the feet of Mary is the moon, both crafted from the purest silver tesserae. Every surface is covered in gold leaf, featuring significant representations of St. Peter and St. Paul, given the location in Rome. Additionally, there are crucial depictions of the most important Franciscan saints, namely Francis and Anthony, commissioned by Pope Nicholas IV. In a tiny representation, Nicholas IV, dressed in red with a tiara, is on his knees, presenting himself to Mary and Jesus. This signifies that he was the pontiff at that moment. Below, along the lower part, flows the river of the terrestrial paradise. All known animals and plants of that time are meticulously depicted in small sections. Further down in panels are scenes illustrating the most important episodes in the life of Mary, a visual narrative within the Basilica dedicated to Mary.
The Basilica is like a book that preserves the memory of Christian belief, represented in its images, mosaics, and statues. browsing through its pages, reveals that what the first Christians believed has been faithfully preserved through the centuries, enduring until our time.
It's interesting that instead, the triumphal arch, just before the Grand Apse, depicts episodes from the Old Testament. And there are, and it's a much older mosaic, dating back to the founding of the Basilica, so a mosaic from the 5th century. Similarly, on the aisles, there are numerous episodes from the New and Old Testaments, all in mosaic. There are the oldest glass mosaics and precious tiles covered in gold in Rome, making them the oldest Christian mosaics in Rome.
Pope Nicholas bequeathed the Franciscan charism to the Basilica, which had also been called Santa Maria ad Presepium and Bethlehem ad Occidente, because it contains the relic of the cradle of the baby Jesus. In homage to this sacred relic, and in keeping with the tradition of St. Francis, Pope Nicholas introduced the first ever nativity scene within the Basilica, inspired by St. Francis's iconic live nativity scene in Greccio. Stay with us to learn about the relics that are kept at St. Mary Major, the cradle of the baby Jesus, the first nativity scene, and the relics of St. Matthew the Evangelist and St. Jerome. The beating heart of the Basilica of St. Mary Major is the altar that enshrines some of the most precious relics of Christendom. The complex is crowned by a baldachin, and a chapel underneath provides access to venerate the relics of the Nativity that arrived from Bethlehem in the 7th century. Guido Sante continues to guide us through the time, art, and spirituality of the Papal Basilica of St. Mary Major.
In the 19th century, about 150 years ago, Pope Pius IX, who reigned for many years, decided to construct a confession. Essentially, this involved opening up an area in the floor with two large staircases leading beneath the main altar to preserve the Holy Cradle. Pilgrims, visitors, and believers can thus descend these stairs every day, enter the heart of the Basilica beneath the main altar, and there pray in front of the relic of the Holy Cradle. This relic consists of five planks of sycamore wood, an oriental tree housed in a large reliquary made of crystal, silver, and gold crafted by Giuseppe Valadier in 1802. At the center of the confession is the statue of Pius IX, a large statue depicting him kneeling, looking towards the relic and facing the altar.
Guardando verso la reliquia e guardando verso l'altare. L'altare che è una preziosa.
The altar, a precious basin made of imperial red marble and porphyry, houses other significant relics preserved at Santa Maria Maggiore. For example, the relics of Saint Jerome, the relics of the Apostle Matthew, and a series of other relics. There is, therefore, a very precise connection between the relic of the Holy Cradle, the relics of the Nativity, the doctors and the saints, and the main altar. Overarching all of this is a huge, beautiful baldachin, executed and designed by architect Ferdinando Fuga in 1750 for the Jubilee of 1750, commissioned by Pope Benedict XIV. It echoes the concept of Bernini's baldachin at St. Peter's, but is no longer Baroque. Instead, it embodies the style of the 18th century, reflecting a taste for ancient art. The columns are once again made of porphyry and imperial marble, and all the decorations are in gilded bronze, reminiscent of St. Peter's baldachin, but with a completely different style.
A ricordare sì il baldacchino di San Pietro, ma con uno stile completamente diverso.
Every year on August the 5th, the Basilica commemorates its foundation with a snowfall of white rose petals, recalling the miracle of the snowfall that Pope Liberius discovered on the hill where the Basilica is constructed. According to tradition, Mary appeared to him in a dream and instructed him to establish a church dedicated to her, promising that he would find snow the next day.
It was August, so it should have been very hot, but the miracle caused it to snow here. Every year, this snowfall is remembered. In the center of the ceiling, right above the confession of Pius IX, on August the 5th each year, a hatch opens. During the solemn mass commemorating the foundation of the basilica, white rose petals and white flowers rain down, precisely to recall the snowfall that founded the basilica by the will of Mary.
Fondò la basilica per volontà di Maria.
St. Mary Major houses several chapels, including the Crucifix Chapel by Ferdinando Fuga. Notable among them are the Chesi Chapel, dedicated to St. Catherine of Alexandria. However, the most beautiful and important chapels are the Pauline Chapel, which houses the icon Salus Populi Romani, and the Basilica's Sistine Chapel of Santa Maria Maggiore. After the break, learn more about the first ever nativity scene and why the basilica is also called Bethlehem in Rome. The Basilica of St. Mary Major has its own Sistine Chapel. While it doesn't feature Michelangelo's Last Judgment and there are no frescoes depicting the creation of man, there is a touch of Michelangelo on one of the world's largest tabernacles, and this chapel holds the first ever nativity scene figurines.
Oggi noi la chiamiamo Cappella Sistina per ricordare Sisto V.
We now call it the Sistine Chapel to remember Sixtus V. In truth, ancient documents refer to it as the Nativity Chapel, as it was built here to commemorate the birth of Christ. The relic of the Holy Cradle coming from Bethlehem was preserved here. This location, more or less where we are now, housed the first oratory and church dedicated to the Nativity of Christ, where the relic was kept. So what does Pope Sixtus do? He and his architect, Domenico Fontana, face a challenge. They cannot demolish the ancient chapel where the holy relic is preserved. Instead, they enclose the chapel in a box, essentially lifting this massive structure, and move it here below using hoists exactly here. Hence, what we see today resembling a crypt or confessional is, in reality, the medieval chapel of the Holy Relic of Bethlehem. Pope Sixtus V also had this chapel built to commemorate the nativity scene desired by Nicholas IV, another Franciscan Pope and the first Franciscan Pope. In this chapel, indeed, the first nativity scene in history was preserved, and it is still preserved today.
St. Francis had established the living nativity scene in Greccio, and within a few years, the tradition of the nativity scene spread. However, the creche, as we now know it, was born here, and originally kept in this little chapel, together with the relics of the nativity, the manger from Bethlehem. The Pope is sculpted praying in front of the manger, but his gaze is directed towards the altar, where the transubstantiation takes place. The altar complex reflects the spirit of the Tridentine Council. The tabernacle is built according to the norms of St. Charles Borromeo, a prominent advocate of the Counter-Reformation from the Council of Trent, who served as an archpriest of the Basilica of St. Mary Major.
Quindi questo tabernacolo è esattamente in asse con.
So this tabernacle is perfectly aligned with the Nativity Chapel. We have therefore a crucial, theologically significant passage, as desired by Pope Sixtus, the incarnation of Christ in the lower part, with the relic of the Holy Cradle and the depiction of the Nativity. The tabernacle, where the Council of Trent tells us that the host is the true body of Christ, is adjacent to the altar. So the altar, immediately next to the tabernacle, and this verticality that rises precisely to the dome center, is where a choir of angels portrays God the Father. Thus, the entire chapel is built along a line that, from the incarnation of Christ in the medieval chapel, in the Nativity scene, ascends to the glory of God the Father. This axis precisely marks the entire structure that revolves around this marvelous monument. These are some of the most precious stones that existed in the 16th century. Pope Sixtus doesn't look at the money. Pope Sixtus must build the most precious tabernacle in the city. Above, there are figures of the 12 apostles, as written by St. Charles, and there are depictions of 8 scenes of the Passion of Christ. At least 3 of these scenes are made in gilded bronze, based on designs by Michelangelo. Michelangelo was already deceased, but Ludovica del Duca, one of his students, used 3 famous drawings by Michelangelo to create 3 scenes of the Passion of Christ.
The tabernacle is a historical and spiritual testament, emphasizing the constant incarnation of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament and his passion and resurrection. In 1613, Pope Paul V Borghese consecrated this magnificent chapel, located in the left nave of the Basilica of St. Mary Major. Constructed in a span of only 5 years, this chapel is a testament to Pope Paul V's profound devotion to Our Lady Salus Populi Romani.
È un papa estremamente devoto alla Salus Populi Romani.
The tradition holds that the painting was created by St. Luke the Evangelist, the patron saint of painters. Pope Paul V built a monumental chapel, very similar to the one that Pope Sixtus had built 20 years earlier. He enlists the help of a series of artists who had already worked in the Sistine Chapel, and who, in the meantime, between the Sistine Chapel and the Pauline Chapel, had worked at St. John Lateran, the Cathedral of Rome, for the Jubilee of 1600.
According to the expertise of Guido Santi, this chapel, designed by Pietro Bernini, the father of the legendary sculptor Gian Lorenzo Bernini, is considered the birthplace of the Baroque style. Gian Lorenzo, refining his skills as a young boy, played a significant role in constructing the Pauline Chapel alongside his father.
In reality, in this chapel, we already find the first examples of what will be Baroque art, which will characterize all of the art of the 17th century, first in Italy, then in Europe, and later in South America and the rest of the world. The chapel is perfectly clad in marbles and adorned with large pilasters, made of a very precious marble called Broccoletto di Spagna. All the marbles used are extremely expensive. There is no room for thrift. Less valuable materials cannot be used because that would not honor the icon, considered the most precious icon in the city of Rome. Salus Populi Romani should be remembered not as the health of the inhabitants of Rome, but as the health of the entire Roman Empire, meaning the entire Western world.
The altar is a precious reliquary crafted from stones and gilded bronze. This opulence is dedicated to Mary and is evident in numerous small details. Typically, elements not visible to the public were left unadorned. But in this unique case in Rome, all the concealed elements are coated in gold.
Tanto preziosa l'icona e il culto di questa immagine così importante.
So precious is the icon to the veneration of this highly significant image led St. Ignatius to celebrate his first Mass here. Pope Francis, for example, is particularly devoted to this image. Pope Francis came here exactly at 7 in the morning on March the 14th, the first day of his pontificate, to offer flowers. 14
di marzo, il primo giorno del suo pontificato, a portare dei fiori.
Pope Francis's devotion to Salus Populi Romani went beyond that of his predecessors. He honored the sacred icon with the gift of a golden rose, and as he once revealed in an interview with Mexico's Televisa N+, he wished to be buried in the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore. Today, his tomb rests here, making the basilica not only a place of Marian devotion, but also the final resting place of the late pontiff.
Pope Gregory XV, Pope Sixtus, Pope Pius V, Paul V Borghese, Clement XI. From this point of view, Santa Maria Maggiore is a kind of small Vatican, precisely because many popes devoted to Mary wanted to be buried here and not at St. Peter's.
Pope Paul V not only wanted to be buried here, but like Pope Nicholas IV, decided to reside in this basilica and established his studio in the sacristy. During his papacy, he faced renewed religious tensions between Catholics and Protestants in Germany, which ultimately led to the outbreak of the 30 Years' War in 1618. His response went beyond financial support for the Catholic League. He also took a cultural approach, defending Catholic doctrine through the promotion of art.
The true message of the entire chapel is in the fresco at the top, in the lunette painted by Cavalier d'Arpino, who was at the time the most important painter alive in Rome. In that image, in that fresco, St. Gregory Thaumaturgus is depicted showing Mary the text he wrote against heresies in the 5th century. Pope Paul V precisely chooses this theme of St. Gregory Thaumaturgus and his text against heresies in the Middle East to create a cultural and theological connection between the heresies of the new heresies, namely those of Luther, which in those years had created so much confusion in the Western Christian Church.
The Basilica of St. Mary Major stands as a living testimony to the early Christian faith, embodying the Council of Ephesus and devotion to the Mother of God, and witnessing miracles. It holds physical evidence of Jesus' humble birth, early depictions of Our Lady, and is the resting place of St. Jerome, a doctor of the Church. The Basilica is a significant site for the Council of Trent and a showcase of fine arts by Michelangelo, Bernini, and Baroque pioneers. This is why the Basilica of St. Mary Major held such a special place in Pope Francis's heart, with Our Lady's Salus Populi Romani as his spiritual compass, guiding his entire papacy. Today, his tomb rests here, making the Basilica not only a Marian shrine, but also the final resting place of Pope Francis.